This morning our text is 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, and we'll look at the theme, the word that you heard. As we begin, I would like to remind you that the epistle of 1 John has a style that's very cyclical. We've talked about that before. John tells us a little bit about an idea, and then he circles back and he spends some time on a different idea, and then he circles forward and he tells us about the idea that he has already told us about. And that cycle is a way that John writes as he moves forward in the epistle to another idea. Now this morning, we find ourselves in one of these moments of transition that is so popular in this letter. John's already told us about light and darkness. And he's told us that light and darkness relate to our union with Jesus Christ as we trust in his death, the death he calls a propitiation. And from that, he says that we are to walk as he walked. And now the apostle circles around again, and he gives us today's text, which talks again about light and darkness, but he talks about it in terms of an old and a new commandment. And then next week, he transitions back into how we live with one another in brotherly love. So we need to get our minds around that as we begin. John's argument is connected to that which we've previously seen in the epistle. He's not starting a new thought here. He's finishing a thought in his pattern that goes something like this. So listen to the text. Again, this is two verses, 1 John 2, 7 through 8. He says, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." So what is this commandment that the apostle is here describing? This commandment that he says is old and it's new. He says it's both of these things. Now, many will tell us that the commandment is to love our neighbor or to love one another, because he goes into that in verse 9, doesn't he, where he talks about the love for a brother. But I don't think that's what John is telling us here, because he tells us in verse 7, what that commandment is. Look at verse 7. "The old commandment is the word that you have heard." You see that in verse 7. He says, this commandment is the word that you have heard. Now, I'm going to show you briefly what John means here, and then we'll come back to that phrase in a bit. Now, if you have your Bibles open, and I would always encourage and recommend that you listen to sermons with your Bible open, notice chapter 1, verse 1. John says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard." He uses that line. And then look at verse 3 of chapter 1. "That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you." So John is not here starting a new thought. He's not finished with the idea of union with Christ and light and darkness and how that leads to sanctification and the way propitiation connects to all of that. That's a lot of heavy theological terms that he's already given us. But he's not now transitioning into brotherly love. He's still back here in these thoughts that he has already been telling us about. Does that make sense? The old commandment is the word that you have heard. You might say, well, Pastor Nathan, how's that a commandment? How's the word that you have heard a commandment? And I would tell you that it makes sense, because the word commandment doesn't just mean law. It doesn't just mean something that you do. It means precept or charge or order or injunction. So when we hear commandment, automatically we go to do this, don't do that. Right? But here John is saying the commandment that that the new commandment and the old commandment is that word that you have already heard. And see, John is pointing us not to brotherly love, which he's going to get to, but he's pointing us to Christ. He's pointing us to trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word that you heard is the central message of today's text. And I want to look at how he divides this idea in two headings instead of three, just to throw some of you off. So for the first heading, we see the old commandment known. The old commandment known. This is verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. So we see here in the text that this command or this precept that John gives is something that the hearers are already familiar with. It's something that they've already heard. It's old. It's something known to them. What does he mean by that? He says this old commandment or this old precept is something that they had from the beginning. Again, this is pointing us back to 1:1, 1 John 1:1. John tells us that from the beginning there is this experiential grasping of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that, and that's something that's old. The promise is old. As we think on the Lord Jesus Christ and this injunction that connects the hearers with the person and work of Christ, we can go all the way back in our Bibles. All the way back. And we can follow this thread or this message that tells us that Jesus Christ is going to come and redeem His people. It's really the oldest promise in the Scriptures associated with the covenant of grace. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. That's it's probably on your first or second page of your Bible. You'll see Genesis and you'll have a couple columns. It's on one or two. It's Genesis 3. It's in Genesis 3. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. This is the gospel promise that came to our first parents, that one coming from Eve's daughter would be the one that would crush the head of the wicked one. And this would bring God's people into union with Himself. That old command is to be found in Him, to be in covenant with the serpent crusher. That old promise that unfolds throughout all of the Scriptures. We can follow it from the garden to Abraham. And we can find that promise of the seed also here, where this covenant is made with Abraham. And God promises to that singular seed, the same word, that in him the nations of the world would be blessed. And as that singular seed finds the nations of the world blessed in him, God says that their number will be as the stars of the sky, or their number will be as the sand of the sea. That's that old command, that old precept, that old promise to be found in him, to be in covenant with that one who is the one who is in covenant with Abraham and the one who is in covenant with our first parents, Adam and Eve. It's an old command, the oldest promise in the Scriptures. Friends, do you find yourselves resting in that seed? Do you find yourselves resting in that one who is the blessing of the nations? We can go to Moses and the promises that came through the one who is both the serpent crusher and the one that is the blessing to the nations. And we find that under Moses, that word that you heard, it's everywhere throughout the writing of Moses, from the priesthood to the sacrificial system to the holiness code to the call to separate from the nations, to the fact that a great prophet will arise from among the people. All of these promises at one time pointing us back to the garden and at the same time pointing us ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will come. Friends, that is the word. That is that old commandment that we've heard from the beginning. That old commandment that does not change, to be found in Him, to trust in Him, to repent and hold on Him. That old command is unfolded in David as the promise is made to him that a son of his would sit on the throne forever. This is that word, that old command. And each one of you here, including myself, is called to be in union with that one who fulfills these promises. Jesus Christ, the one who is that old word, that old promise, the son of Abraham, son of David. Friends, we're called to rest in his finished work. You see, in John's day, there were these old heretics that we mentioned that were telling the church that they knew something better. We know something that your preachers don't know. We know something that your elders don't know. We know something that the apostles don't know. And if only you would trust in us, you can throw off this old command, this old word, and you can be in the know. This was the idea being put forth, that they knew something clearer. Or they knew something that made that old story of little relevance compared to their new and improved version of the gospel. And here John is saying, friends, the message that we hold, that word that we cling to, that word that we've heard, it's that message of Christ. And that message wasn't even new with Jesus Christ. It's the same message that the people of God have heard throughout history. They're to trust in the one who is to come. They're to trust in that serpent crusher. They are to trust in that son of Abraham. They're to trust in that son of David. And as we consider this word that you've heard, this old word, I want to remind you that where John goes in the first chapter of this epistle is that the old here relates to the church's experience as Christians as well. He connects it not only to the gospel message that they've heard, that message that has never changed throughout time, but he relates it experientially as well. He says the old command relates to the very fact that you have heard this message from the beginning of your Christian experience as well. That which can be touched, that which can be handled, that which can be seen. He is the word of life, the one who holds eternal life that was manifested unto you. Friends, do you see that connection here? This message of the gospel and that primary command of God's to be found in Jesus Christ. That word that you've heard has begun a work within you. And it has caused you to cling to Christ. Reflect on that. Reflect on that time when you first think about when the Savior pulled you from the mire. Think about that. That first experiential time where you know that you were clinging to Jesus Christ. When you were crying out because you were broken in sin. And trusting in that message. Friends, that time is to be cherished. That time is to be something that you ought to consider. We ought to constantly, experientially, be going back to the gospel and reminding ourselves that we are clinging to Christ. See, I'm afraid sometimes that those of us that love to read theology and those that love to study the scriptures, that somehow we think that the gospel is just so basic, and maybe we found ourselves outgrowing the gospel or growing past the gospel. Friends, let that never be the case. That which you have seen and heard, that which can be touched, that which can be clung to, we must continue to cling to Jesus Christ. It is that old word that we've heard, that old message that we come back to time and time again. Now, there's one other application that I'd like to give you as you think about this old commandment that's known. The old commandment known. The word that you heard, it's intended to cause obedience in your life. John here connects union with Christ and obedience. He's already done that. He's connected assurance with union with Christ. He's connected Christ with the way that you walk in this world. An old commandment is heard here. The word hearing or heard or hear in the Bible always is intended to result in obedience. It's always intended in that way. We walk according to the Word of God because we've heard the Word. Hearing leads to obedience. Sometimes when I have to ask my children to do something a second time, I say, "Did you hear me?" And I don't really care if they heard. I care that they obeyed. And that's what we find in the scriptures as well. That word that you have heard. It's not something that we just hold on to and contemplate and say, yes, there's really great implications historically, and we should think about the way that the gospel related with the first through third century. We're saying, no, the gospel, that old commandment that you've heard, has it caused renewed obedience in your life now? Does it affect the way you live now? Friends, you don't come to church to hear religious scholarly lectures. You can go to the Huntington for that. Come to hear the word of God that you may cling to Christ, and that you may walk in newness of life. We see that that is the way that the Scriptures call us to live. We walk in a worthy way when we're clinging to Christ, and that obedience gets renewed from that place of union. We walk. You might say, well, Pastor Nathan, you said it was an old commandment, and now you're telling us to walk in newness of life. That seems confusing. And if that's what you're thinking, you're getting it. You're thinking like the Apostle John. Remember, John loves these contrasts, and he loves this way to bring something forward and then pull it back and bring it forward again. And this is what he does in our second heading. In the second place, we see the new commandment grown. The new command grown. Look at verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The new commandment is one that grows in the life of the believer. The word that you have heard, that old commandment, that gospel promise that you're clinging to, from that, it's growing within you. And that is called new. It's called newness. And we have to begin with the obvious. At least in my mind, what's new here? Like, why does he say it's old? And then he says it's new. Well, the word new in the Scriptures, it does not mean totally different. Like, we often think of new as something totally different from that went before it. In English, we use the line, apples and oranges. We talk about things that are totally different. They're apples and oranges. One day you might be on apples, and the next day you're on oranges, and you say, it's things that are totally different. They're not comparable. But that's not how the Word of God uses the word new. You think of the New Testament. When we say the New Testament, does that mean that 3/4 of our Bible just gets tossed away because we don't need it anymore? No, that's not what we mean. The New Testament doesn't replace the Old Testament. It fulfills the Old Testament. And there's a difference there. Or we can think of the New Covenant. Is the New Covenant totally different from the Old Covenant? No, we talk in terms of administrations, don't we? We don't say that God dealt with a people this way and then he changes and now he deals with the people this way. We say it's the same covenant with different administrations, old administration, new administration. Or we can think of the Psalms, like the psalm that we began with, where we're called to sing a new song. Whenever we're called to sing a new song, do we just throw the Psalter away and not sing that anymore? No, it's talking about singing it with freshness, or singing it with renewed confidence or renewed obedience, or new people singing the psalm. One theologian said there are two different words for new in the New Testament. One means with respect to time, and the other one that John uses here is respect to quality. Sometimes something that is old and familiar can be given freshness and newness like never before. So a new commandment, or the new word that you heard, that is that gospel coming to you with freshness and with a renewed sense of vigor in your life. John is telling us that as the gospel grows in your life, as the word of God increases, it ought to be so in you. Have you ever thought of that word, the word of God increased? Luke uses that in the book of Acts. As the gospel goes forward, he describes it as the word of God increasing. And John is here doing something similar to that, where he says that this old command comes to you with newness. Jesus is seen here in truth, and the influence of that word grows. The truth of the gospel is influencing the world. We read from Isaiah, and the idea was that servant of David would come forth, the son of Jesse. He would go forth into the nations of the world. He would not crush those that are weak and humbled, but instead he would bring them into himself. And the idea is that the gospel is going forth into the world, and it's as if the word of God is increasing. And Isaiah uses that phrase, sing a new song, as the gospel goes forth into new lands and into new nations. Those songs come to those people with freshness. I remember when I first started singing psalms, and I was, I learned this new one. You know, and you look it up, and the tune is from, 1670. It's not really a new one, but it's new to me. It's fresh. And here we see John saying that the word of God is going to grow in that way in you. Again, look at verse 8. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you. Jesus Christ's word is growing as it goes throughout the world, influencing with the gospel. Is it doing the same in you? Is the word of God coming to you like a new command, something fresh in areas of your life? He describes that as darkness passing away and true light already shining. You see here, John would have each one of us examine ourselves and to ask ourselves how we are growing as Christians. As the word comes to you, that old word that you've heard from the beginning, is it coming to you with newness and freshness? And is it causing you to grow? The darkness is passing away. Friends, how are you growing through the Word of God? That old Word, the same Bible you've already always had, the same Bible that you've always read, some of you reading it from your youth, how is that old Word becoming new and fresh in your life? How are you applying the truths of Scripture to your life? How is the gospel influencing your daily life? You see, these are questions that are connected to this old new command. That word that you have heard, is the light of the gospel penetrating the dark corners of your heart and your mind? The Apostle Paul would describe this something as being conformed or transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is Jesus influencing your thinking? How is the Word of God influencing your ethics at work? How is Jesus Christ affecting your marriage? How is Jesus Christ and the Word of God challenging your time management? How do the Scriptures influence your parenting? How are the Scriptures challenging your eating habits? Or the way you spend money? Or the words that come out of your mouth? Or the way that you speak to your husband or wife? Or the way that you interact with the person that just cut you off on the 5? How is the Word of God coming to you with freshness? See, it's the same word that you have heard. It's old. It's something you've always known. You guys know that you can come here to church and you could probably list 10 things that I'm going to say every week. But does that word influence your life? Are the dark corners of your heart and mind being penetrated by the light of the gospel? Friends, this is a challenging question for all of us. Calvin said, as soon as Christ brings light, we have the full brightness of knowledge. Not that every one of the faithful becomes wise the first day as much as he ought to be. For even Paul testifies that he labored to apprehend what he had not apprehended. But that the knowledge of Christ alone is sufficient to dissipate darkness. Hence, daily progress is necessary. And the faith of everyone has its dawn before it reaches the noonday. But as God continues the inculcation of the same doctrine in which He bids us to make advances, the knowledge of the gospel is justly said to be the true light when Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shines. Friends, how is the Word of God affecting your life? Have you trusted in Christ? Are you clinging to Jesus Christ, knowing that there is no forgiveness outside of Him? And you don't just leave that aside as an old word. That word that you heard must become fresh. It must come to you like a new commandment. It must come to you, renewing your life, renewing your heart, renewing your mind. And this is something that each one of us, if we are in Christ, are faced with. There's not one person in this room that can say, Pastor Nathan, that was a great sermon for them. All of us have dark corners that still need to be exposed to the light of the gospel. Friends, are you clinging to Christ by faith? And as you cling, as you trust, as you rest in Jesus, Do you find daily freshness? Do you find daily renewed mercy? Do you find newness as you walk? And friends, if you find yourself believing just because it's what you're supposed to do, or because it's what your parents told you to do, or because it's what you've always done, it's probably pretty stale by now, isn't it? Cling with freshness. That old command is one that is known, and that new command is one where you are to find growth as the gospel penetrates your life, knowing that even as the darkness in this world is passing away, as the gospel goes forth into the nations, that's the in him as in you, as the gospel goes forth and converts the nations of the world, is that work being done in you? That work of darkness being exposed to the light? The word that you heard, it is an old command, and it's known, and it is a new command, and from it you will grow. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and true light is already shining. Amen.